last but not least, we have Darshi Billa Soraya. Okay. From LA Children's Hospital, and she's going to speak on how do clinic experiences affect HIV-related attitudes and risk, a study of seropositive Latino patients in Los Angeles.
Thank you. So I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. I wish I did, but I don't. I think this panel's given a lot of background for my project already, but I do want to focus in on my second bullet there. A lot of the research on on HIV has been mainly focused on inter-ethnic differences, and our hope was to start looking into intra-ethnic nuances and differences within just the Latino population. So our focus is seropositive Latino patients who are already utilizing community health clinics in Los Angeles that serve predominantly Latino patients. And what we did was we examined the influence of patients' clinical experiences and social demographic factors on their HIV-related attitudes and their sexual risk for transmission. The data shows this is a part of a larger multi-site demonstration project that examined HIV secondary prevention models in primary healthcare settings. What we did was we just took the baseline information from both the intervention and the control clinics to kind of get a cross-section of what it looks like in Los Angeles. And our sample was 120 male Latinos who were sexually active and over the age of 18 years, and again, they're seropositive for HIV. The data was collected in the summer of 2004 by Innovir-administered computer-assisted surveys. And then our analysis was univariate, like descriptive stats, bivariate correlations, and multivariate stepwise regressions. Before we could do any of our analysis, we had to construct some new variables from the survey questions that we already had. One of our main targets were attitudes of Latinos, and there were so many questions about the attitudes about the clinic, about the providers, about their own selves. So we had to come up with a way that we could condense that. So what we did was any survey questions that logically fell together, we tested for correlations, and if they were highly correlated, we combined them to make one new variable. For example, I think we had about 6 satisfaction questions, and we tried to see if they correlated together and made one new variable for satisfaction with the clinic. And the new mean score was calculated for that. Okay, so these are all the different variables that we had, and it's kind of giving you an idea of what our conceptual framework is. Sociodemographic variables, a lot of the same ones that you see everywhere else. In addition, we also have multiple partners there as one of them, income source, if they got their income from a job or not, health status, as if they have just HIV without any symptoms, or if they have symptoms and if they have also an AIDS diagnosis, so we dichotomize that. A length of time since diagnosis, pretty self-explanatory, and also insurance status. We check to see if they had any type of insurance, whether private, Medicare, or Medi-Cal, or if they had none. Even those people who had no insurance were still covered under Ryan White. But the problem is that they're not covered for anything else. Like if it's not anything to do with HIV, they weren't covered. We ended up with 8 new attitudinal variables. Let's see. The comfort talking, those two are about their own selves, if they were how comfortable they were about talking about sex with their providers or about condom use. The perceived comfort clinic, that variable is about their perception of how comfortable the clinic providers were in talking about prevention. And also the very last one here. This was a question we had asked directly in the survey, and it was if they were worried about having transmitted HIV to someone else in the last 6 months. And the sexual risk variables were if they had multiple partners, if they had a partner of unsure status, if they had not disclosed their own status to a partner, or if they did not use condoms. Okay, quick overview of our descriptive stats. Average age was about 40, so we dichotomized that. The sample reflected about 50-50 in each of them. Most of them self-identified themselves as MSM. 45% had no symptoms. The rest either had symptoms or AIDS. Average length of time was 91.4 months, which is about 7.5 years. A lot of them, 42%, had less than high school education. 59% said they had less than $10,000 income per annually. 55% of them indicated that they earned their income from a job. And 55% said they had insurance, which left 45% having no insurance. 55% seemed really high for those who have HIV to be working. So we looked to see if they were sick, if they had symptoms. And 40% of the Latinos who reported they had HIV symptoms or had a AIDS diagnosis still worked in the sample. So we looked back at our original data with the non-Latinos, and only 20% of our non-Latinos worked for their income. So we don't have a very good measure of legality of their status, of their immigration status. And this kind of made us wonder if any of them are actually illegal here, and if that was the reason why they had to work instead of getting a disability. Okay, these are our sexual risk variables. 53% said they had at least two or more partners. 27% said they had a partner of unknown status in the last 6 months, at least one. 36% said that they had not disclosed their own status to a partner. And 28% said that they had not used a condom in at least one sex act. Okay. So first we wanted to see the relationships between demographics and attitudes. And those who said they had no multiple partners were more comfortable talking about sex behavior, meaning those who had multiple partners were less comfortable talking to their providers about that. Patients who had less income were more comfortable talking about condoms. MSMs were more perceived that their providers had more comfort talking about prevention. And this might be because, it is an HIV clinic. Providers are used to talking to MSMs. But it tells you also that our straight men didn't feel that. So it might be reflecting their own comfort level, but they were talking about their provider's comfort level. Length of time, the less time they had, and if they earned their income from a job, they were more likely to say that they believed in the efficacy of condoms. Those who were younger, those who had less than high school education, and those who earned their income from a job were more likely to say that they were worried about having transmitted HIV in the last 6 months to someone else. So we want to look at a multivariate. Oh, excuse me. Went the wrong way. Oh, sorry. This is a bivariate, but we were looking at both sociodemographic as well as attitudes, bisexual risk. So these kind of stand alone. These are just separate relationships with this bivariate. As far as sociodemographic variables, sex ID being MSM was related to both having multiple partners as well as partners of unsure status. Income source being a job was related to non-disclosure as well as non-condom use. And what's really interesting is those who said yes to this question about being worried about having transmitted HIV to someone else, they were all related to these three sexual risk variables. So now we're looking at the multivariates. So again, we're looking at sociodemographic by attitudes. First, to see how those are affected. Latinos who were earning less income indicated that they were more comfortable talking about condoms. MSMs perceived, again, that their providers were more comfortable talking about prevention. MSMs believed in condom efficacy and were more likely to believe in condom efficacy. And younger and those who have no high school education were more likely to say that they were worried about having infected someone else. Now looking at both sociodemographic as well as attitudes by sexual risk. What was really interesting here is that this variable here came out as related to all four of our sexual risk factors. So those who answered yes to being worried about having transmitted HIV to someone else was a lot more likely, about 1.5 times or so likely to say that they had any of these sexual risk behaviors. MSMs were 4.5 times as likely to have multiple partners. Those said that they were not comfortable talking about condoms were more likely to say that they had a partner of unsure status. That was behavior. Those who said they were not comfortable talking about sexual behavior were more likely to say that they had unsure partner. And those who were not insured were also more likely to say that they had an unsure partner. And going down here for condom use, in addition to saying yes to worried about having transmitted HIV to someone else, those who were not comfortable talking about condoms, those who had no symptoms, and those who said they had no shame regarding having HIV were more likely to not have used a condom in the last with at least one sex partner in at least one sex act in the last 6 months. Okay. Study limitations. We had a kind of a small study number of Latinos. We did have complex constructed variables that may have thrown our tests off a little bit. But most importantly, one of the things that we really should have had, which is kind of like the elephant in the room, was a measure of immigration related variables. Length of time in the U.S., whether they were foreign-born or American-born here, how acculturated they were, or just the legal status. We had none of that. And that was because the main study, when they were developing the surveys, I think only the Los Angeles sites had any kind of Latinos. And so when they were developing the surveys for the entire big study, they didn't really think that that would be important. It's only when we looked at just the Latinos we realized that we needed that. Our discussion, you can see that Latinos are not homogeneous. It's just when we are planning prevention models, we should think about that. Are patients at showed that they are sexually active, and patients who are engaged in HIV risk behavior are still, it looks like from our data at least, that they are still able to articulate their concerns that they may have infected someone else, that one of their sexual partners. So we suggest that providers who want to have an honest conversation might want to start their conversation on sexual risk behavior with such a question about asking about their concerns of transmitting HIV to someone else. And then our kind of unexpected finding was, and then the one that we couldn't really thoroughly study, was the high number of Latinos who have HIV/AIDS who have to still work for a living to earn their income. And I think we need to explore other different effects of having to have to work when you are really sick and what happens to those individuals. And last but not least, just want to thank the patients and the providers at the two Los Angeles clinics, and our research was supported by the Department of Human Health, Health and Human Services, and the Special Projects of National Significance Program. Okay.
Great, thank you. I just want to thank all of our speakers because I think that was very, very informative, and you all did a great job. So let's just give them all a round of applause one more time. Thank you. All right, now I'd like to open it up to questions. So.